And now, the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. A look at people and events making a difference on the coastside.
The KHMB Feature Story of the Week is brought to you by Granola's Coffee House, located on Highway 1 next to BK Motors in Half Moon Bay. Granola's Coffee House, featuring specialty coffees, fresh baked goods, and free Wi-Fi.
If you've ever wanted to visit all of the national parks in the United States, of which there are 63, Greg Hossfeld is the guy to ask. That's my guest this week on the KHMB Feature of the Week. Hello, Greg. Thank you for being here.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for having me to discuss this journey.
So you have started when you were 8 or 9 years old, you said. You have visited all 63 national parks. The national parks are incredible. They are gorgeous. And you have visited the 63 national parks, and there's a difference between national parks and other park units, and they are, that is what?
So the national park system has, I believe, 430-some-odd units, includes battlefields and grasslands and historical monuments. The national parks designated as a national park, like Yosemite or Yellowstone, there's 63 of those. Designated as and called a national park.
And my understanding is, and we talked about three of them just before we start, you talked about the Arctic Circle, the U.S. Virgin Islands, which I would never have thought of. Let's start with the most unusual or the furthest away, which is the Arctic Circle.
So there's, of the 63 parks, 61 are in states. There's one in the Virgin Islands, and there's one in American Samoa.
Oh.
So if you're looking to travel long distance, the Virgin Islands are relatively close. American Samoa is about 5 hours beyond Honolulu, so way out there.
Okay.
Within Alaska, I believe there's 8 national parks, 2 above the Arctic Circle. One is Gates of the Arctic, and one is Kobuk Valley.
Oh.
So they're way up there, several hours of flying time out of Fairbanks. Fairbanks is the last big city you see on the way to these parks. You get smaller and smaller in towns of 20 and 30 people.
Right.
Until you get to the parks where there's no trail, there's no road, there's no hotel, there's absolutely nothing.
People will say, well, I drove through this park, so that means I have visited this national park. Just because I've been there for 30 minutes, does that constitute a visit to the national park? Or do you, there's something more about getting to know the national park?
So I've met a number of people who said, I've been to all the parks I've visited. We saw people in Gates of the Arctic. Again, Gates of the Arctic is almost 12,000 square miles, 200 miles across,
wow.
Just absolutely massive. I spent about 8 days there. I saw just a sliver of the park. We did see people on bush planes just land and walk a big circle for 30 minutes and take off. And they held up a sign and said, I'm in Gates of the Arctic, and that's true. For some people, the parks like Gates of the Arctic and Kobuk Valley are best visited for the day because, again, staying in the park is a different kind of experience. You're putting up fences to keep grizzlies away from you.
Oh.
You're watching for wolves.
Mm-hmm.
It's cold. There's no bathroom facilities. There's no cooking facilities. It is a great adventure. Alaska is the last wilderness experience in the United States, apparently, and it is phenomenal. And you see the northern lights at night, if you're lucky. Again, you see grizzlies, you see caribou and elk and wolves and just all manner of things coming to visit you. So that is not for everybody. I think if you want to see the parks quickly, you can certainly do day visits to all of them, including Gates of the Arctic and Kobuk Valley. If you want to really get to know them and explore them, it's a much longer, more detailed, intricate, expensive experience, but phenomenal.
Can you describe some of the places that you've been, where you've been, and what has been the most made your heart go, aww?
Yeah, so if you ask this question of everybody who's been to all the parks, and I know one other person who finished this trek.
Well, I was going to say, there's not very many.
Yeah, there's not very many. I was one of my friends. I finished with him in American Samoa. He finished. That was his 63rd. That was my 61st. The highlights, certainly anything in Alaska, if you want to go see some real wilderness, glaciers, animals, you can't go wrong with Alaska. Denali is spectacular and somewhat more accessible. Gates of the Arctic is just vast. You can get lost in the wilderness, and it's an amazing experience. So anything in Alaska has been extremely impressive. I think a little more accessible. Yellowstone was fabulous. Most people really enjoy Yosemite. Again, Yosemite's large. It's about 1,170 square miles. The valley is 7 square miles. I hiked the John Muir Trail with some friends over a number of years, so I was able to see some of the backcountry of Yosemite, which, again, you go out there and you can hike for a couple days and not see anyone. So the backcountry of Yosemite, The backcountry of Kings Canyon is extremely rugged, spectacular, one of my favorite parks. But other impressive sites, we saw the lava flowing at volcanoes, was phenomenal. And then there are some really unusual places, too. Congaree, which is out on the East Coast, if you like snakes, poisonous snakes in particular. It's a wonderful place, tons of mosquitoes. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a jungle swamp, but again, fascinating.
Where was the little island we talked about?
The Isle Royal in Lake Superior. Again, hard to get to. A trip to Minnesota, and then you can take a challenging 3-hour boat ride through the surf of Lake Superior. It's like being on the ocean, or you can take a bush plane, just a small flight. Really, really remote. It's probably one of the quietest places I've ever been of the civilized parks. I found it extremely relaxing. It's just, it's a series of little islands, but one significant island with a lodge and a tiny restaurant and a tiny bar and grill. And just quiet and nice hiking. It's one of the few places in the world where moose and wolves coexist.
Really?
I did see a moose, didn't see any wolves, which was probably a good thing. But again, very, very relaxing. Just a beautiful place to take a couple days.
Where did you go in the U.S. Virgin Islands?
Virgin Islands, there is a national park on one of the islands. That's really a nice beach, kind of a beach resort, really pretty, some nice wilderness and some good hiking. It's more on the higher end of national parks than from an experience of wilderness. It is not the traditional wilderness experience. So
okay.
That was the last one. That was earlier last year, and that was my 63rd.
Well, that's great. Now, you just said there may be a 64th one coming. What can you tell us about this new park that they're planning?
Yeah, so if you look on the Internet, there's lots of speculation where the 64th park will be. A lot of states want one that don't have one. The most likely park at this point is Okmulgee Mounds in Georgia. It's more of a historical indigenous peoples civilization. We did visit there, dragged my wife out there. Because she's been there for most of this journey, not all of it. She decided to forego a lot of the wilder parks in Alaska, but she went out there with me. And I went there just to make sure that once I finished this, they didn't jump ahead of me by a park. So I'm done. And then all of a sudden you're not. But there's a lot of really worthy places. Craters on the Moon in Idaho is on the list. But again, if you look at different lists, you'll see 7 or 8 places that think through the next one. Okmulgee Mounds is actually, legislation has actually been started to get that done. So hopefully it will be the next one, mostly because I've been there is why I say that. But I know the process to create a new national park is slow and lengthy and does not happen frequently.
How long did it take you, and why? What prompted this, let me hit every national park in the United States idea?
So, again, I started when I was pretty young. My parents took me to Yosemite and Death Valley. After that, for that next 10, 15 years, I visited a few. You know, I went hiking in the Grand Canyon. As I got more into hiking, which is kind of my exercise of choice, and exploring, the more I explored in the States, the more I enjoyed going to the parks. And by the time I got to about half of them, I thought, most of these are just phenomenal places. I might as well just see the rest of it. And took my kids to a bunch of them. Like I said, got to hike in many, many places. And then by the time you start getting to 50, 52, 53, it's like, well, I got to finish. And of course, at that point, some of the last ones left are the remote ones, American Samoa, which is a long way out, Virgin Islands. And then the Alaska parks, and by the time you get to 57, 58 parks, typically for most people, that last 5 or 6 is really, really a labor of love and time to make the effort to fly into some of these places and then stay there for a while to get to know the park fairly well.
So any advice quickly? I want to do this. So what advice do you have for anyone who's decided they want to hit every park? Do you go by state? Do you just go by nook and by crook?
Within the lower 48, there's 50 some odd parks. Again, there's a few in Hawaii, but you can get through the lower 48, make road trips out of it. You know, find out and decide what motivates you. Is it hiking? Is it animal watching? Is it stargazing? And then kind of pick your path there. And again, decide how you're going to do it. If you're in a hurry to get all 63, you can do that. You'll miss a lot. But some people don't have the time that I did. I was really fortunate to have that. Some of those days where I could plan and just kind of float around. And then, again, I think a sense of adventure is critical. The North Cascades Park up in Washington, you can drive through. If you're going to go hiking, it is remote. It's rugged. It's steep. It's the most dangerous park by number of visits. You have to decide really what your motivation is and what makes you want to see them, and then put them together. But it's hard to visit these one at a time.
Right.
Some people take a full year and rent an RV and go across the United States, a great way of doing it. If you can afford it, you have a full year just to travel.
There you go.
You can make a lifetime travel plan just seeing the national parks. Again, most of them are in the 48 states. A few of them are a little more distant. But if you just, you're not somebody who likes to travel internationally, as an example, seeing all the parks is really a worthy goal, and you would enjoy all the parks I enjoyed. A couple I probably wouldn't see again. A couple were a little on the rougher side, but you know, overall it was an incredible experience, and I'm revisiting a lot of them now since I've got a better camera and have a little more time.
And retired.
Yes. Going to see a few of them some more, and again dragging my wife when she's willing to go to some of the less rugged places. She'll be at 50 national parks on her own pretty soon, and I think my kids saw 20 or 30 while I was dragging them all over the place.
Well, thank you, Greg Hausfeld, who has visited all 63 national parks in the United States. I'm Cindy Menzel, and this is the Feature of the Week.
Makes you want to take a trip, doesn't it? Thanks for Cindy Menzel for our Feature Story of the Week. For Radio Magazine, I'm Jim Henderson.